I don't see any questions. Well, let me look back here. Let's see. By the way, welcome calls, and Gary, both of you came in after I started, I think, or, yeah. Glad you came in, and I hope that this answers some questions and doesn't just stir up more questions, but if it does, let's try and answer those too. It is as if God gives us one chance to choose Him, then He locks you in for God, no matter if that person changes his mind down the line. Once you repent, you can never repent for your repentance. That sounds to me like words from somebody that hasn't gone through an imputation of righteousness. God's righteousness. It's a boy. Yield to the Lord. Let Him, you know, believe it that He paid for all your sins. You don't have to worry about going back and trying to get unsaved and get sent into hell again under your condemnation. You don't have to worry about that. God has got it all worked out in a perfect way. Part of that perfect way is you have a choice to defy Him and take the consequences, or to believe Him and take the blessing. Sorry, I have a question. How comes that you follow more what Paul says than Jesus Himself? Everything that Paul taught in Romans through Philemon is by the commandment of the Lord, what the Lord commanded him to teach. Look at the second, let me pull it up here, 2 Timothy 2, 7, I think. Yeah, 7. Is that the one I wanted? Let me see what it says here. Consider what I say, the Lord give the understanding in all things. No, that's not it. But he does tell us to consider what Paul said that. Consider what he says. That's what we're to do in today's dispensation. If you think you're spiritual, read this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, Paul is saying this, the things Paul wrote unto you, are the commandments of the Lord. The Lord revealed many revelations to Paul, and Paul wrote them down for us. It's the word of the Lord. Look at Acts 26, verse 16. I think it's verse 16. We'll see in a second here. But rise, Paul. This is the words of the Lord to Paul in Acts 9, after Paul first saw that the Lord was alive, that it really was Jesus, and that he'd been persecuting people wrongly. He fell to the ground, and the Lord says, "Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." Paul is a minister. "And a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of the things in the which I will appear unto thee." So there are, and you can read through Acts and see many revelations that the Lord made to Paul. One of those you can read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, I think. Let's look at that one. Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, he had baptized earlier in Acts, baptized people in Acts 16. After that temple vision, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians here, in which he says, "Christ sent me not to baptize." There's a change there. He had baptized, and now Christ sent him not to baptize, and he didn't baptize in water anymore. So there was an appearance there, a revelation of new doctrine to Paul for us. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. There's Paul telling us to follow his pattern, the pattern that the Lord started. Paul was the first to fit into that pattern, to be saved by that pattern. And that's the pattern by which we are saved. We admit that we are sinners, not law keepers, not as good as we can be, so Lord, please make up the difference. No, that's not it at all. That's remaining condemned if you believe that. You need to believe, we all need to believe, that Christ died for our sins. All of our sins. Every last one of them. He's already died and made the payment. The wages for our sins is death. But God gave a gift out of that. The gift is eternal life. So, we're told to be followers of Christ. That's it. Amen. Totally finished in Christ's blood. You know, a punctuation mark here. Let's look at Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Those are the two realms. Israel is God's earthly kingdom. And going to be, that's who the kingdom was promised to, and that's who the kingdom is coming to after things in heaven that the verse ends with there. That involves us in the body of Christ. God is populating the body of Christ to go to heaven to rule in the heavenly realms. Through his own blood, he has bought us back to the Father. Amen. So, and not only that, there's more to it. I'm sure you agree that if we look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, talking about Christ, God the Father here, God the Father hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. In other words, we don't have that sin on us anymore. There's no way that a believer that receives this imputation, there's no way that a believer can die in sins. Christ has already taken the full wrath of God against every sin you'll ever commit on the cross. He took all the wrath of God against those sins. You're not under condemnation anymore. Romans 8:1, 1 through 9. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ never sinned. We sinned, but not Christ. Christ who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I see the hand there. Come on up, calls.
Thank you, Mike. Now, I often was asked the question the other night, well, if our sins are all forgiven, calls, then why does it say in the scriptures that God disciplines his own? Well, it simply means what it says, I believe. Didn't Christ go after the one that went astray, left the 99 sheep? That was the parable, by the way. But the one that left was already in the fold. He was already in the fold. Meaning the parable meaning that you're already redeemed by the blood of Christ. I think that God tells us, God disciplines his own, those whom he loves, for the purpose of communications, reconciliation. You never cast. He said, "You can never be cast out of him." But we are in the flesh. Even though we're in our flesh, even now, at 78 years old, it is possible for me to sin, isn't it, in my flesh? Absolutely. But immediately when we do, we know it's a sin. Being God and me, I know when I sin, and you do too. and God restores us to the fellowship. I heard it stated this way. A man told me that it's like you have a whole lot of papers with your name on the front or the top of the paper. And under your name are all the sins you've committed in your entire life. Every single sin. And the man put a Bible over top of those papers, and the Bible happened to be red, leather collar. Symbolism, he said, this is a good story, I thought. That's all Godfather sees is the red blood. Red representing the blood of his son. So that your sins are forever thrown into the lake or the sea of forgetfulness. I will not remember your sins. Oh, he sees the blood. And this man told me that I even looked, because I had my name on the top of the paper, and I tried to look, but I could not see what sins I committed in my past. Nor was I really interested, because if God couldn't see my sins, then why should I? I like what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away, not covers, away the sins of the world. I know without a doubt, without controversy, no arguments about it. I'm not going to argue with God. The finished work of the Father was to believe on the one whom he sent. John 6:29. Believing on the one whom he sent is believing on the Father. Yes, it is. That's what scriptures clearly tell us. That is the Father who has given the Son to reconcile us back to the Father. Such as it was in the beginning in Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. Not just good, but very good. So I've happened to believe the scriptures, Genesis 1:31. If things were very good way back then, before the sixth day, then there was no sin. That's why God could say it was very good, because God doesn't create anything but good. And that's the way I think the Father looks at us. Because he sent Jesus, who was perfect. There's nothing that can top him. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, each and all sin, once and for all, no second deaths. One death, once and for all, for those who come to him. It's God's gifts of eternal life. That's what I believe. I just wanted to mention something there, Mike. Maybe it's pretty interesting. I'm going to turn it over to Gary. Good to see you, Gary. I didn't miss it last night. Here's something that the prophet, what was his name, who came to Jesus, or came to Mary when Jesus birthed. Interesting. Down here, this is interesting. I got a question. Just a question. I'm not questioning the scriptures at all. But I want to know the answers. For those who know all the answers, I would like to know this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the prophet Simeon meets Mary, the one who bore Jesus, on the eighth day of his birth. And he states something in here, in verse 30, 31, 32, particularly the 32nd verse of the second chapter of Luke. The prophet Simeon states this. Listen to this. And he came for the Jews, did he not? Yes, he did. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, says Simeon. The baby Jesus, 8 days old, taken to the temple by Mary and Joseph to get that, which was according to the Jewish custom, to get them circumcised. According to, it wasn't the seventh or the ninth day, it was the eighth day. And then he says in verse 31 and 32, this is my question, how did Simeon know that Jesus will be a light to the Gentiles? He came for the Jews. Interesting. Here's what he says. Verse 31, which you, it's thou, O God, has prepared before the face of all people. And 32 is the knockdown one. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. How did Simeon know that that child, Jesus, at 8 days old, would become a light to the Gentiles? And I think it was from Paul, absolutely. But Simeon knew it before Paul was even redeemed on the road to Damascus. Isn't that interesting? How does a prophet, when Paul was a prophet of God, to give the good news, yet Simeon tells that this baby only 8 days old would be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of people. Very interesting reading if we don't ignore it. Paul brought the true gospel of grace. How in the world does Simeon know that? Go ahead, Gary.
Couldn't hear you, Gary. Couldn't hear a thing. Try to...
Can you hear me? Well, turn your mic up, or turn your speakers up, Carl. Hey, Ed. Calls, I want to tell you something. The nation of Israel was always a light unto the Gentiles. When Moses wrote the law down, salvation to the Gentiles was included in the law. It was, of course, they had to proselyte and become a Jew. But their inheritance, once they became a Jew, circumcised and bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, whatever, then theirs was the same as the tribes that they were sojourning with. And they will be a light unto the Gentile nations in the ages to come, after we're out of here in the tribulation. But that has never changed except for in the dispensation of the grace of God. There is nothing for us to be grafted into. We're not grafted into anything. We're full-on adopted sons of God. And Simeon, he didn't state anything that God hadn't already stated. Israel is low MI. We can't be grafted into Israel anymore. Grafted into the olive tree. There's nothing wrong with studying the other scriptures. But the only ones that apply to you is what Paul said applies to you. Because those are the commandments of the Lord. Peter reads scripture in 2 Peter. They rest with those writings as they do the other scriptures. Unto their own destruction. See, here it says, in all his letters, all his letters are scriptures. Anyway. Think you got your mind fixed, Gary? All right, bud. Your mic. Well?
1, 2, 3. Can you hear me? 1. I got a 1. Hey, that's good. 1, 2, 3. Skidoo. Or something. Anyway. Two things, Carl, from my understanding, two things. One, that instead of God disciplining us, as you stated, and I think you're getting that from Hebrew, what Paul said here is that we have the scriptures for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Okay, we have doctrines. That's teaching, learning from what Paul said. And we have reproof. Straightening us for any errors we come across to make sure that we stay in line with what Paul said. Not what Peter said, not what James said, not what anyone in the Old Testament said. For them, for Israel, but for the body of Christ. And we have our correction forever. Whenever we have bad behavior. Okay, so when we're getting into the scriptures that are profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, it is for our benefit, not the world benefit, as far as what Israel was instructed to do in the past. It is our instruction. So when we are corrected, it's in front of me. Anyway, and the other thing is, I forgot what the other thing is. Oh well. I you didn't hear me before because for some reason my mic is messing up. I can hear and speak to you better now than when my mic is was plugged in, because it kept me from being heard. I could hear and hear you and all of it, but I had to unplug it. I see. I just randomly picked it out because you weren't hearing me, and so I guess that's what I'll do. Is I'll just plug it in when I need to and unplug it when I'm talking. It's okay with me. I don't care. And Simeon, that's the other thing. Simeon, in my understanding, Simeon knew what you did because he read the Old Testament. He was an Old Testament person. He did not know about the Gentiles of today. He did know about the prophetic scriptures that the Gentiles would be blessed from Israel's light. They had the oracles of God. They were supposed to be the light that all the world would see, but they kept on messing up. They'd be good, then they'd screw it up. They'd be good, and then screw it up. And so finally God set him aside and said, I'm going to go do a different route. That's why Paul came along, and he could shine that light to those Gentiles that Israel could never reach. I'm done. Well, I'm not correct. The scripture is correct. We need to just look at what it says and to whom it says, when it says. Now I'm done.
Yeah, I know, Derek. I know. When the scriptures say it and you quote the scriptures, you're quoting God's words. If you don't quote the scriptures, it's not God's words. I knew that, my friend. I believe this, and I will never change my mind. And I know that Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, because he was assigned that by the Lord Jesus. But also God spoke to us. How do I learn the scriptures? I cannot study it without the presence of God in me. Where do I get that basis from? I get it from Proverbs, believe it or not. Proverbs 1:23. Turn to me at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you, and he, that spirit, will cause or make you to understand my words. So without the Holy Spirit in us, without Christ in us, without God in us, we will not know and understand the scriptures without God himself giving us the understanding. And I use two examples of that. When Jesus was on the road to Damascus, when Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, I think it was, with those two men. And after he had risen from the dead, and he asked the question of these two men, what are you talking about that's so interesting? And they said, have not you heard, where have you been, stranger? Have not you heard about Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be equal with our God? It is said that they arrested him, charged him with blasphemy, and they crucified him. And it was stated that after they crucified him and he was buried, on the third day he arose from the dead. Many people said they saw Jesus, and some of his disciples, they said, follow him. And Jesus followed them to their house. But Jesus, opened to those two men, and that was the Old Testament scriptures, opened the scriptures to all the scriptures concerning himself. So it was Jesus who opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, all the ones prophesying the Lord our righteousness, one who was from old and everlasting, the one who would be born of the Virgin, all those prophets from the Old Testament and the Jewish scriptures. And that same spirit that taught them in Christ is the same spirit that teaches us to understand the scriptures. We ought to compare scripture with scriptures in their context. Why? And I know, I believe the Pauline scriptures are absolutely on target. But remember, we have the living Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to me, the God through spoke to men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the very words that God wanted them to write. Hebrews 1:1. But today he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in each and every one of us, just like he lived in Paul. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is alive. He's a spirit and lives within us. Why? Because God is a spirit. I ask this, and I believe this. No one can ever deter me from this. When Jesus said, he that heapeth on me, my Father and I shall come and dwell within them forever. Forever. Notice the word forever. That's after death. God will never leave us nor forsake us, even to the valley of the shadow of death, says Psalm 23. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Just Christ us. God Almighty, the Word of God is in us. And he is our strength. Where do I get that? Philippians 2:13. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I believe the scriptures. Jesus Christ is alive. He's been alive from the dead. He's the God of the living. And those who have the new life are living. We're not dead. We're raised out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, the scriptures. Well, I believe this, that Jesus Christ is living in me, and I believe his word, not just part of it, all of it. I believe God spoke to us in the Old Testament just like he spoke to the prophets. And this thing with Simeon, I want to share this one. This is what it says about Simeon. We don't take much. This is so good, though. Here it is. And behold, verse 25 of Luke 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This is what the Bible tells us about Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's the deliverer. And the host was upon Simeon. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost he did not die or see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That was the baby Jesus Christ. Because how did Simeon know that Jesus was the Christ? You know how he knew? Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Holy Ghost is the one who reveals God to us. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who both wills us to do of his pleasure. God in us, Christ in us, just like Paul said, not I but Christ liveth in me. Paul, I want to be like him. Why? Because Paul believed and knew it without a doubt. Without controversy, the scriptures would say that. What is that, without controversy? Without doubt? without questioning, without controversy. There's no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God the Father Spirit was in Christ the Son the flesh, revealing the Father through the Son. And I think that's what Paul was telling us. Do you know who Jesus really was and is today? He is the Word of God, the Word. He came from the spirit world into the flood to bear our sins through the precious blood of Calvary. No other human being could do it. No other human being was qualified. You had to be perfect without no sin at all. And there was only one perfect human being that ever lived on the face of this planet Earth. And that was God in the flesh. And I say Jesus is God in the flesh. This is why. Because the scriptures clearly tell us. In Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus Christ in his flesh, the Father was in him, the Holy Spirit was in him. Well, how do you know that? Because the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit led Jesus.
Sorry, Carl. You got to start looking at the screen, because when there's a hand up, something might need to be said. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks. Yeah, this isn't a time for sermons. We're trying to answer your questions, but you're cascading them one upon another without letting us answer. One thing I want to say, thank you for your comments, but there's something that needs to be watched. Christ said some things to Israel's 12 apostles that only apply to them. Now it sounds like some of the things that God revealed, Christ revealed to Paul for us, especially in Ephesians and the prison epistles. But it wasn't, you know, it was said to the 12 apostles, not necessarily even to all the followers of Jesus then. For instance, John 10:28 and 29. Let me put that up there. 10:28. It says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, we can't put ourselves in there. We're not the them. I give unto them. What's this? to ramble? Oh, I didn't see the... Let's see. Okay, I will remember short comments and not like another stated to ramble. Okay. You're okay, calls. In fact, I appreciate your questions and your comments, but just, you know, allow for back and forth. One thing at a time. I've got a disability that I can't accumulate a bunch of answers. I need to do one thing at a time. Okay. I think those state cause division in the family. Statements. I don't know what statements cause division, but anyway, let's focus on this. On these two verses here, did I put the second one? No, I didn't. And I give unto them eternal life, and he's talking about the 12 apostles, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Though they were the ones that were committed unto him at that point. You know, everyone else fled and left eventually. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Which gave them me. Look at John 17. That's right. John 17. If you look down in the prayer there, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Well, that's good. That sounds like something Paul would say, doesn't it? Especially, you know, I'm trying to think of the wording of 2 Timothy 2:2. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. But it wasn't said to us. Paul spoke to us, but Christ is not talking to us here. He's talking to the Father, and he's talking about his 12 apostles. That they all may be one. Now, that sounds like Ephesians 4, doesn't it? The, you know, that we, until we come in the unity of the faith. But it's not. He's talking about somebody else, not about us. We have to rightly divide what comes to us, what scriptures were written about us, and for our instruction, and for our following, and what wasn't, what was written to the apostles, to the twelve apostles of Israel. They weren't apostles of the body of Christ. In fact, they, you know, when you look at what Peter said in Acts 10:28, he says, you know, I'm not supposed to talk to Gentiles. That was in Acts 10. They knew that, you know, these statements were to them only. And we can't just mix in and start gathering from all through the Bible and apply it to us, okay? So, Christ said some things to us today through Paul, things that do apply to us all, to you and to me and to the believers. And if Israel hadn't fallen, it would apply to them too. I mean, it applies to people that descended from Jacob today. But they don't have, you know, as was said before, they are Lo-Ammi. In Hosea 1:9, they have fallen, and they're not yet to Hosea 1:10. There's a big gap there. So far, it's over 1,900 years of gap between Hosea 1:9 and Hosea 1:10. When Israel will be brought back after the catching up of the body of Christ. So we need to distinguish between what is actually said to us and what is, you know, nice warm statements that were made about Israel. We can't just grab it and say, that's mine too. I'll stand there and depend on it. You know, you depend on the things, you know, some of those things are, whatever you pray for, it's going to happen. Well, did you ever try that? It wasn't said to you. And you go thinking it was said to you, well, then the Lord's not trustworthy. He didn't make it happen like he said he would. But he never said it to you or to me. He said it to the 12. Okay? All right, I'll stop there. I need to close pretty soon here because I need to be a helper here with things around the house and with my wife, so... a brief comment, make it brief if you would, Coles.
Yeah, I definitely will make it brief. I don't want to hear from the other person about rambling again. Certainly don't want to do that. This is a brief statement. Who is Jesus talking to when he made this statement? Who was Jesus talking to when he made this statement? Was he talking to the Jew? Or was he talking to believers that will believe on him? This is a statement. When Judas Iscariot saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead, and he bowed down and said, "My Lord and my God," Jesus made a statement. He said, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you believe. But I say, blessed are those who believe on me and have never yet seen me." Was he speaking to all believers, or was he speaking to just a Jew?
The message was still the same to the same people even then, until Israel was put aside. That included only the Jew. And since Israel needed to be put aside, you can apply that to the rest of us. But not until. So everything that Jesus said and did at the time of his life and resurrection, and teaching, still teaching the 12 to carry on his message, from the time of Matthew 10 to 28, when their message will someday be to teach the nations, they were to carry the message of what Jesus' doctrine was for Israel. And it would spill over to Gentile nations later on, like it would have before, had they followed what God said and believed as a national people. They wouldn't have fallen aside, and they would have used by way of Israel, but they did not. The words that Jesus said then could not apply to us at the time because they were directly messages to Israel alone. Like I said, we can apply that now, but we couldn't apply what he said then to those people at the time. We weren't savable then. We were still lost, without hope. Now, if Paul had said the very same words that Jesus said later on in his epistle, yeah, okay, it would be a solid message. But Paul didn't say that. Since, like I said, from 10, they were only to go to Israel. And it didn't stop with Peter at Pentecost. He was preaching to Israel. Their promises, their inheritance was still going on. So what said when he was raised can't apply to us at all, even at Pentecost. And it certainly couldn't apply to any Gentiles until after Paul Paul was knocked down on the Damascus Road and told he was near the ministry. Okay. Hey, let's see. Mike, enjoy your night. Take it easy. Do what you need to do. And we'll see you on the flip side.
Yes, thanks, Mike, for having your room open. Yeah, that's interesting. But I like that. It sort of says this, that if you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day he arose according to the scriptures, you shall have eternal life. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what Jesus, our Lord, said? He's alive right now, today. We're talking about a living Christ, Savior. He rose and lives within us. And I'm not saying this to go against the room, because I love this room. I'm saying it because I try to understand. I realize that Jesus came to his people first. His people were the Jews. There's no doubt about that. You will not have no argument for me on that. But Jesus said, blessed are those who believe on me and have never yet seen me. Well, I'll tell you something. I've never seen Jesus, neither has anyone in this room. But I believe on him. Am I not blessed because I believe in him? That's what Jesus' words were. Blessed are those who believe on me and have never yet seen me. Does that apply to the Gentiles as well as the Jew? Or does it just apply to the Gentiles? I believe on Jesus. Why does he say, blessed are those who believe on me and have never yet seen me? None of us here in this room have never seen Jesus. None of us will see him one day. But don't those words apply to us? Is not Jesus alive? Paul's dead. Jesus has been alive for 2,000 years. He rose from the dead. And it is Jesus that states, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul does not say that. So who has more power? The one that says he's with us all the time, will never leave us? I love Paul. I love the true gospel of grace. But the words of Jesus superride anyone in the whole scriptures. When he says, I will always be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Was he speaking to the Jews? Yes. Was he speaking to me? Absolutely, because he's with me. I believe that without controversy. Jesus is alive. He lives. And I speak to him every single day. And he speaks to me every single day through his words. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Go ahead, dear guy. Well, look at the scriptures. All scriptures, comfort, truth. I'll give you the scriptures, and you can argue with the scriptures. Remember, there's a warning in the scriptures, in Isaiah. How does a man strive at his maker? And God answers that by not taking heed to his words. And that means all the Bible. All of it. It does say it, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to put it up here on the screen. You can argue with the scriptures. That's all. Okay, my friend? Go ahead, Gary.
You seem to have a little bit of a trouble distinguishing what is to the Jew and what is to the Gentile on occasion. What he said, what you said about what Jesus said is true, for sure. But his ministry and words were to them. And he raised Paul up to give us his further revelation to what is interpreted to and applies to us. There can be application outside of Paul that can apply to the church when and if there is no other contradiction or no other difference. When there is a clarity of the same thing, okay, we can apply, but we must interpret what Jesus said to one people, to them only. Unless he specifies otherwise. Right. Well, he certainly lives in all of us. But he lives in all of us because of the revelation of Paul. Not because of what Jesus said. Because Paul's revelation from the risen Christ includes us in a different light than Israel. As I said, whatever he said in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was conditional. If they followed what he said and obeyed what he said the best they could, they would endure to the end and be included. If they didn't, too bad. That doesn't work with us. Go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, can you hear me? No, louder. Can you hear me? Well, I'm low. Closer to the mic. Can you hear me? Okay, I don't want to take up too much time. Cole, you're going to have to really be a right divider. And you said Paul is dead, or you're not acknowledging Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He's seen him who is risen from the dead. You know, Paul writes in Ephesians, he's not coming back to the earth. He's already at the right hand of God. So Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 6, we've been raised up.
heavenly places with him now. See, you're measuring on something that took place, the virgin birth that took place. He walked to the earth, but he appeared to the 12 and he showed his hands to, but those are Jewish disciples. So see, everything that Gary posted, you know, we do believe in God and that's the flesh, but he's risen from the dead. And that's our justification, and plus, we're seated with him. So he's always demonstrated his great love for us. And his love is when he chose Saul, who became Paul. He's our apostle. He supersedes. See, he even said in Romans 15:8, Christ was a minister to the circumcision. That's the Jews. So you got to really right divide to really find yourself in the real peace with God and having the peace that dwells in you, that you be thankful you're called into one body, not Israel. So I'm just kind of giving you a heads up because we do ramble, talk about things over and over, and you're not preaching to us. You're in these other rooms getting a bunch of stuff from these other people, and you ought to be in this room every night getting yourself soaked, drenched with the word of truth, Paul's gospel. Well, he's the apostle of Gentiles. But see, I'm just saying, you know, you're trying to teach us something, and we already know it, most of the in here. We're waiting on you to come to recognize. One thing I hear about you don't talk about being seated in heavenly places. You're not talking about Paul's gospel yet. So, you know, I'm not putting you down, but hey man, grow with us. We're not wanting to go back to Israel's program or endure to the end for becoming a Jew, getting baptized, circumcised, join church or whatever. Christ, Paul says we're already complete in him. All our sins are all forgiven. It's a done deal. So accept that. Anyhow. We're to learn and to divide. And see, that's what edifies us. It builds us up. And when you build me up, you're putting me where I belong in heavenly places with him. I'm not on earth wanting to be a disciple. I'm not in the Old Testament, in Psalms, and those are things for our learning. I'm not a sheep. I'm a Gentile dog. Saved. New creature in Christ. New man. And that's what Paul's gospel and his, when he said 1 Timothy, in me first, hereafter, all those that believe. In me first. Paul's the first one in the body. So, you got to get that, Coles, and I appreciate what you've got to say, a lot of it. But remember, what Gary posted to you, and Mike, and myself, we're not trying to beat you. But really, you can't put us back in the Old Testament or under the law. Not today. So anyhow, thank you.
Yep. Right, Carl. You said something that disturbed me a little bit, and maybe I misunderstood you. But you said earlier something that, I hope I got it wrong, but you said that you it was more important for you to know, or that you believed Jesus' words over Paul. And if that's what you meant, or something like that, that disturbed me. Because, okay, I'm just letting you know that that's what it sounded like. That you took Jesus' words over Paul when Jesus, in his risen state, directed more words for Paul's benefit for us. So everything Jesus said, whether on the earth or in his resurrected state, was very important to the people that he spoke to, whether it be through Peter or Paul. What he said, when he said it, to the people he said it, was very important in all things to them. And I'm done, Brian.
Call. Matthew is not talking to you. That has absolutely nothing to do with you. As a matter of fact, what he said there will not happen until after he comes back. He said in Matthew 10 something, or I can't remember the verse now, 10:15 or something, 10:14. That they wouldn't even go over the cities of Israel until he come back. Okay, 10:23. Ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So, Matthew 28 didn't even apply to them then. It's going to apply after he comes back. And that was spoken only to his apostles. But when he comes back, Israel will be a nation and a royal priesthood to the rest of the world. And that's how Matthew 28 is going to happen. Because we believe every word in the Bible is true. But you cannot take it out of context. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Paul. God told Noah to build a boat, didn't he? And that's true, is it not? Okay. Well, why can't we build a boat? God saved 8 people on that ark. Why can't we build a boat and be saved today? It's true. Because he said it only to Noah.
Very good.
Yeah, Floyd, your pass is good. You have to take the word in context, Paul. And you can't apply it to you if it's not spoken to you. If it's spoken only to the apostles, then it was a teaching for the apostles. If it was spoken only to Noah, then Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he spent 120 years building the boat. God told him he believed God. Well, all right, calls it you, Mike. This must, we're not a political room, thank you very much.
Before you're on here, Carl, we have a Hulk. I hope you're not here to cause trouble. Getting in here with a question like that. I hope you're on our side and not someone coming to put a wedge in the room, because people like you will be out of here quicker than a flash. Okay? Not sure who you are or what you're doing, but I'm speaking not to you, Carl, but do we have a Hulk? Okay. But you came in with the, are you familiar with the Mid-Axe dispensation thing? And, you know, yeah, I know. And I was just making sure that you weren't in here to disrupt the room. That's all. Because if you were, then you'd be out of here quicker than a flash. Anyway. Okay. I'm just being careful with the room. Go ahead, Carl.
First of all, I want to thank you for loving me. You guys are great. Gary, Comfort, Vic, Mike, Ed. Thank you for loving me. That, to me, proves to me that Christ is in you. we have something very common, the love of God for brothers. And they shall know us by the love we have for one another. That's my Bible. I want to thank you, and I'm sincere about that. That's not a bunch of gobbledygook, or as you would say, ramble. I try not to say things that are mean to anyone. You've never heard me say anything mean in this room. Never. I know that for a fact, because I will not. But I really, I know that this was said to the Jews, but I like this verse here in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. If someone would be very kind for me to put Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Would someone be so kind to do that for me? Matthew 28, 17, 18, 19, and 20. These are so good. Thank you so much for doing that for me. I love you guys. And when they saw him, Jesus, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Next verse, Mike. 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 28:19. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. Go you therefore. Who's he speaking to? The Jews, yes. The Jews, they rejected him. The majority of them rejected him. You know, the church was very small in the Jewish country at that time. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They only believed in one God. They didn't believe that God had a son. Yet their own scriptures even talk of God having a son. Yes. Teaching them, teaching who? There's people in all the world. So whose job was it? It was Paul's job to show us the mystery of godliness. That God is going to save us by grace and no longer works. We know that by the splitting of the curtain, the temple of holy holies that is crucified on a cross. God was telling something. Why would it even, if it wasn't important, that no longer that we're going to be the law. It's going to be grace. But Jesus rose from the dead about 2,000 years ago in his physical body, but he's alive. And he said that he would build a church. Okay, I'm watching the clock. I'm going to be on the bed very shortly anyhow. He said he would build his church. Now, he might build his church through Paul. He might build his church, but he's going to build his church. Who are the Pauls today? What is that commandment to go and teach all nations? Jesus gave us and he had all power in heaven and earth. He's asking this question. Why do we negate that only to the Jews who do not propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years? Only those who were redeemed Jews who became saved by believing on Christ. But very few, by the way. Who is building his church? Christ in us is building his church. Through Paul, even an example. That's how Jesus Christ was building the church, through Paul. And everyone that believed Paul's words and became redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and has received the Holy Ghost, as Jesus said, it's expedient that I go to my Father, for the Father will send a Comforter, and he will teach us in all things, even in tell you of things to come. So the power of Almighty God is in the Holy Spirit, given to us by the Father. And that is our commandment. Our commandment is to go to all the world as believers. We're not to keep this to ourselves. If we keep it to ourselves, who would then hear the Word of God? If I didn't come into this room and hear the truth, who would teach me? Who would teach me the truth? You speak the truth of the Scriptures because it's in the Scriptures. I don't believe your words, I believe the Scriptures' words. That commandment is to you and every single one of us. Don't shirk that responsibility. When Jesus said, go into, you go to everybody. Every single day I speak to someone about Jesus Christ, and many people have come to the Lord over the 28 years in law enforcement. Because I took the time to even talk to prisoners who were going to jail. And they got out of jail and come back and thanked me for telling them about Jesus. And they became saved while in prison. Can you imagine that? That's the commandment of my Savior, who gave it to all of us, not just the Jews. Paul was in obedience to the words of Jesus. And we must do the same thing as Paul. Go ahead, Gary.
In the so-called New Testament, there are three churches mentioned. Is the church in the wilderness that Paul mentions, and then there's the body of Christ, and there is the flock, the 12 in Matthew 16, were the church that Christ, and but that's an Israeli church. That does not belong to or connected with the body of Christ as part of the body of Christ. All of us, all of the people that believed God, what he said, when he said it, to who he said it, all belong to God and Christ, but in different categories. The church in the in Matthew 16 was a kingdom church that will be on the earth when the gospel, when the kingdom of heaven will come to the earth. They will be God's messengers here to the nations. That's different than the church, the body of Christ, which is heavenly, which is heaven bound. It's a very different church, both connected to Christ by by his resurrection. He is the foundation which all those churches, all three of those churches, are built from. The one in the wilderness, the early church, and then us. We're all on the foundation of the Savior. But they are different churches, and the message to each of those churches is different. It depends on when and where these messages were given to the people they were given to, that makes a difference. Ed, you have your hand up. Good for you. Are you waving at me?
Okay. I'm waving at you. Can I be heard? Good to see you, Gary, and everyone else. Thank you, Gary. Coles, now we know you quite a long time, and hey, listen here, you're not getting it. You're not getting it, Coles, the tradition that you have, okay, is messing you up. Now, we love you, okay, there's no doubt. Okay, I believe you're saved, but you're not rightly dividing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now look at this. You're saying that Matthew 28, you started in verse 17, I believe, whatever. But verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded. Okay, he's talking to the 12. He's telling them, right? You're saying that's to everybody else. Okay, so you've already pulled it out of context by making it everybody, but it was only to the 12. Right? When you're reading a letter, you have to keep it in context. Right? Of course he stated, but Jesus stated every word in the Bible. Is that right, Cole? It's all God's words. And Jesus Christ is God. So that don't fly. That's a church excuse. To be straight up with you, that's a churchianity thing. Rid yourself of that. Now here, this is what I have to add. And he's telling them to observe all things. Now is this your mail, Coles? But he that shall endure unto the end, you see this quote? This is the part of the all things to observe. So how could you claim 28, Matthew 28, is for today? You can't. You can't claim it's for today. Now what's Jesus teaching here? He that's enduring to the end shall be saved. The same shall be saved. Number one, they need to endure to be saved. It's a warning, is what it is, Coles. And you cannot say they're saved because they need to endure to the end to be saved. They're not saved. Israel do not have present tense salvation, Coles. It's a future salvation upon the return of Jesus Christ, and they need to do things in order to be justified. James lines up with that. Jesus Christ, it's all Jesus' words, but you got to know when Jesus is talking to you, and you have not recognized that through, of course, our Apostle Paul. He's the only apostle that has our gospel for today and our doctrine for today. With works to the end, yeah? Yeah, most definitely. And do you notice that it says, shall be saved? Now does Paul teach, well hold on a minute, Coles. Does Paul teach a future salvation upon enduring to the end? No. The gospel is a present tense salvation today. The gospel of the kingdom is not a present tense salvation. At all. It's not a present tense salvation, Coles. So it's not the same, Coles. It's not just a question of timing. They need to do something to be saved. So we can't be teaching that today. Well, you say you agree. But then again, you come to the mic. And I like you. I'm not saying this in a bad way. You come to the mic. And you completely say the opposite. Personally, Coles, I think you're playing a little bit. Just a wee bit. Because you're a smart guy. And I don't doubt your intelligence. But there's something there, man. One minute you say, yeah. And I've heard the yeah's in my life, in all walks of life. Yeah. But then say another thing. So if you're agreeing, you put up 28, Matthew 28, then you say, you're telling me that the words of Jesus is not for us? Not all the words of Jesus apply to us today. I mean, Brian gave you a very clear explanation of that, and you can't say you're going to build a boat. He told Noah to build a boat, and he told Peter and the boys they need to endure to the end to be saved. He didn't tell us. We fall into the category of a present tense salvation. Much improved, Coles. Now, if you don't like the way God dealt with man in the time when he's dealing with the nation of Israel, then that's your problem with God's word. They don't have a present tense salvation, and they need to have works to be justified, as James says. Now, I don't believe in the twisting of James's faith without works is dead. I don't believe in all that rigmarole they do with that verse. It's a bunch of religious hogwash. It says what it says, and it's very clear they need to have works to be justified. We don't. Paul's not a part of the 12. Paul's the only apostle for today. We don't disrespect James. We don't throw away the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's all God's word, of course. You see, we don't highlight the red letters and say, well, Jesus is speaking, but Jesus is speaking throughout the whole Bible. You got to find out, and we're telling you where it is. Where Jesus is speaking present tense, today, what applies today, Coles, comes from the epistles of the Apostle Paul. We don't disrespect the other parts of the Bible. We don't throw them out. We rightly divide them, and we keep them in the place where God was dealing with that specific group of people, the nation of Israel. It can't get any clearer than the analogy about Noah. And you have to say, no, he was speaking to Noah. For some reason, people have this disconnect in their brain. When they see those red letters, and you tell them, Coles, get over the fact that he's not speaking to you. And you cannot apply the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Hebrews through Revelation for today in this dispensation of the grace of God. The head honcho is Paul. He brings our doctrine through, given to him by Jesus Christ. We follow Paul. Okay? That's how you follow Jesus Christ today. You pay attention and put the emphasis on what Paul said to get understanding. He's our pattern. And it's not disrespectful when we go off and start studying other parts of the Bible. In fact, it's the way God is pleased. And he is ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay? So what I'm seeing with you, Coles, is okay, good, I agree. And then I come to the mic and it's total opposite. So I would like you to actually see what the Bible's teaching. And I hope you're sincere about it, and I hope you have a ready mind to it, because you're not going to persuade anybody here that's established in this room to try to, for the gospel, the baloney that's being taught in this world. It's not gonna happen. You know, we like you, we appreciate your questions, but there's a point where you're either going to see it and receive it, or you're going to continue to be insulted that, you can't believe that we don't go into all nations and tell them to be water baptized. You know? And command to keep everything that Jesus Christ taught Jews? You got to kidding me. Open mics.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm not going to take that long. I'm going to make it short. I'm going to make it short. I don't disagree with you at all about Paul. But if Christ is truly who he said he is, and he lives in us by the Holy Spirit, and we're taught by the Holy Spirit, states the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus said he's going to send a comforter. The Father is going to send a comforter to us. He was speaking to his disciples. Does the Comforter come to us even today in 2017? Does the Comforter come to us? Or did he just come to the apostles? The Holy Spirit just came to... The Holy Spirit came to the... That's right. The Holy Spirit came to... We know the Holy Spirit came to the prophets. We know that. Holy man of God. To write the very words that God wanted them to write, Hebrews 1. We know that. God spoke to holy men who were led by the Spirit of God to write the words. God said the words, the men wrote it. Because they were men of God. And that was a commandment for them to write the words. And God says in Psalms 138, verse 2, God has magnified his words even above his name. That's in the scriptures. Do we neglect that? God has magnified his words even above his name. Psalms 138, verse 2. Are we going to neglect these words of God? Does God speak through all the Bible? And I don't care about the red letter. I could care less about the red letter. Every single word that's in the King James Version is spoken of God through the prophets and through Paul. We don't speak in disagreement here. But I will not neglect the risen Jesus Christ. And it says, God spoke to holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the very words that God wanted them to write. But today, he speaks through Jesus Christ. But today he speaks through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spoke through Paul. And Jesus Christ speaks for every true believer. We have a commandment. That's not a suggestion. And the commandment was given to every believer. Show the love of Christ. Reach out to them. Tell them that Christ died for their sins. How else would they believe except they hear the words of Almighty God through the Holy Scriptures? How else should they hear? Except you tell each and every one of us tell our family and our friends how Jesus has given you eternal life through your faith in Him and in His words. And if Jesus thought that, this is what He said. They said to Him, His disciples even said, Master, who shall we go to? You have the words to eternal life. You have the words to eternal life. You mean Jesus, the Master, the Rabbi, the Messiah, had the words to eternal life? Huh. I knew Paul had the words to eternal life. Because he told the mystery that God was going to save us by grace. I don't doubt that at all. But he only did it with the power of Christ in him. And Paul himself says, not I, but Christ in me, in Romans 6. Christ was in Paul. And that's why Paul had the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's why so many of them came, like what, 5,000, 3,000 came to him in one day by Paul's preaching? Yes, I agree with that totally. But that is passed on to every single believer. And that's why I tell the good news of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, blood and atonement. And as far as I'm going to the end, yes, that is to the Jews. Because if you don't do it to the end, that means you've got to continue the works. And works, there's no part in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. You are saved by grace, not of works. Lest any of us should boast that we do the better works than anybody else. You're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. Faith in the risen Christ who's alive. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He's alive. He is still the same He that He said a long time ago. So, okay, Gary. Thank you for waiting, my friend.
As you were quoting the things that Jesus said in John, you got to remember that the Holy Spirit was promised to them that, let's see, Luke 24:49 said that they would be promised. Brian. Where's my text? There it is. Goodness, what did I just say? I lost my train of thought. Goodness, where's my head? Okay. Mike, you got your hand up. I'll let you go while I'm thinking.
Okay, we've gone around and round and round, and let's close with this song. We'll see you tomorrow night.
See the wondrous love of Jesus in His mercy and His grace. In the heavens bright and blessed, oh, to see love is made. When we go get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
are rejoicing that we'll be when we are.